Ja, mein Name ist Scott and welcome to our podcast.
I don't speak German.
Oh, that's well said.
But
you know, all you have to say is my name is Daniel.
I'm Daniel.
Yes, you are.
Hi, Scott.
I don't know why I want to be German today, but I'm feeling very German for some reason. I don't know why.
I don't know why you would be feeling German either, because normally as I gaze upon your visage.
Yes, the large image that it is.
I see a
Santa.
Weimaraner behind you, and I see none. You are sans Weimaraner today.
I wondered if you would notice, and she... we have very interesting children, our four-legged children.
I have met them.
Yes, I know that you have. One is a demanding little Nazi fuck who we lovingly call Howard, and he's still hoping that Trump gets in, by the way. And then the other one is this sweet, docile, kind of, forgive me for using an inappropriate term, but I believe she is mentally retarded. I think she is mentally challenged. And not only that, and it's true because she's a whack attack on four legs, but she also has digestive issues.
Yes.
And we meaning Drew, we have been trying to get the right combination of food and probiotics and stuff so that her digestion gets back into, because we've been having troubles with crystals forming in her kidneys from the food that she was eating. So we had to change the food to get rid of the crystals, because you don't want the crystals going into the bladder, because blah, bitty fucking blah, blah, money, ching, 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 money, vets, vet visits. But we love her. She's our child. And so we do everything that we can. And one of the things is do all of this. And so she didn't eat this morning. And when she doesn't eat this morning, in the morning, she hangs right next to Drew. So, but Drew will put the food down and say, there it is. And she'll look at it. She'll look at Drew. She'll look at the food. She'll look at Drew.
Do you have something else?
Yeah, please. And trust me, we've gone with scrambled eggs and pumpkin out of the can and cottage cheese and rice and all this shit and beef broth poured on the thing.
But I would prefer the things with the crystals.
Yeah, I like the crystal making stuff. It's better. Thank you so much for the crystal, because that's my favorite food, is that crystal making shit.
So very observantly of you. Mm-hmm. She is not behind me, and I miss her, but she's with Drew, staring at him and
making him
crazy.
That's why you've chosen to be German today, clearly.
Maybe that's what's it, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. I am German in honor of my missing daughter who's downstairs with her other father.
You know, it's the German language, and I hope for the wonderful German listeners that we have in Germany and everywhere else, it's a really harsh, unattractive language.
It is a violent language, yes.
Yes, and just one example, you have in our language, there's a butterfly, and in French, that's a papillon, and in Spanish, it's a mariposa, and in German, it's a schmetterling. I'm not kidding you. A butterfly is a schmetterling.
Look at the lovely schmetterling.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, there's a monarch schmetterling all over the bushes.
You know, speaking of butterflies.
Yes.
When we were at Animal Kingdom a few times ago, we were leaving the area where they're doing the animation experience, and there's this lovely little display of plants and whatnot, and it has signs up for butterflies, and there was a cast member standing there, and so we went over and we're looking at the plants, and she's like, all these plants are for butterflies. The butterflies have very specific plants that they like to eat.
Yes.
So if you plant these plants, you will attract butterflies.
We have a butterfly bush in our backyard.
And this woman would not stop talking. So I was just like, okay, well, that's so what is it that I would need to get? Is it's like milkweed or something? But it had to be like sour milkweed or something. It was some very specific milkweed for the monarch butterflies. Or the monarch, I've already forgotten what they're called. Schmetterlings. So
yeah, we want to attack the monarch schmetterlings. What do we get there?
So it's one of those axioms at Disney. Don't talk to the cast members. They'll just keep talking.
Because they're desperate for human contact.
They are. Older cast members comprise a large portion of their workforce. And
I can understand being an older cast member myself.
Well, actually, it's always been my plan to eventually become a cast member at Disney because they're really good with part-time employment for retired folks.
Could you put up with the petty frustrations?
Oh, no, I know exactly the job that I want to do. I want to drive the boat between Port Orleans and Disney Springs. So you're just carrying resort guests back and forth between Disney Springs and Port Orleans.
Well, I'm sure that carries with it a myriad of frustrations that you are unaware of until you get...
But the beauty of it is, Scott...
Yes.
You only have to work 10 hours a month to be considered a cast member.
Well, that's pretty good.
So you do a couple of Saturdays or Sundays or a couple of Tuesdays and Wednesdays during the week. And you're a cast member, which means you get free admission to all the parks. You get 30% discount on food. You get, you know, all the perks of a cast member. So that's why they have so many folks there.
I think it's wonderful that you have an idea of how you would like to spend your golden years.
Yes.
I have a couple questions.
Okay, great. Go.
First of all, how are you, Daniel?
I'm doing excellent. Thank you for asking. You know, I've been doing a podcast with Adam Burns for decades.
Mix Minus before it was Depends, Dubious Depends.
Yes. And all that time, he never asked me how I'm doing. I always have to volunteer how I'm doing because he refuses to ask me how I'm doing. So thank you
it's
so
in
much.
His heart.
Thank
it's
you so much heart. For asking me how I'm doing. I'm doing wonderful, Scott.
You usually are, which is a very nice thing.
I'm a chipper person.
Okay, I can check that one off my list. The second one is,
yes.
What was your childhood nickname?
Chipper. Anyway, it's... Here comes Chipper.
Here comes Chipper down the street
there. Hey, Chipper, how you doing?
I don't think so.
So
did I get it? I sent you a guess. Did I get it right? And I would never use it if I got it right.
I don't remember what the guess was.
Oh, then it was wrong. Okay, so what do we got going on, my darling?
Well, you know, it's that time.
It's the most wonderful time for two queers.
It is... What do you guys call it? The holiday season? But what do you guys call it there at the Shay, Scott, and Drew?
Oh, this is just the Christmas season. It's the season of doom and gloom. But for Christmas, it's just the Christmas season.
Just the Christmas
season. Because of Christ.
Because of Christ.
Yes.
So I wanted to... this has been on the Trello for a while.
Yes.
And I wanted to talk to you about TV.
Television.
Because there was a time, I know this is difficult for some of our listeners to understand, but there was a time when you would talk about what you watched on TV with your friends and your coworkers because it came on TV on a certain time and everybody watched it and then you either watched it or you didn't and then you had a conversation about it. And now,
absolutely.
Because everything is on demand and everything is spread across all these different services, it becomes increasingly, it's like some kind of weird, I heard it there. It's it's a negotiation of a, it ceases to be a conversation.
I have tremendous affection for you, Daniel.
Okay.
Go ahead.
It ceases to become a conversation about TV and it suddenly becomes a negotiation about TV. Where it's like, did you watch this? Do you have that? Oh, no, you don't have this. Oh, you don't. And then you spend a good 2 or 3 minutes just trying to find something that you can talk about. So I feel like Netflix and over-the-top things have just made casual conversation much more difficult.
Wow, this is a deeper topic than I thought.
But no. So what I wanted to know is I just want to know, what are you watching? Let's compare here. What are you watching? What's like if you could, I heard it there. If you could rank your top 10, you don't have to give me all 10, but you know, in your top 10, what are some of the top 10 shows that you're watching?
First, I'd like to address your original point. and then come back to your question. When I was a kid, there was basically three channels, CBS, NBC, and ABC. Then there was your local stations.
Yes.
And then there might be PBS if you had one of those little wire loops on the back of your TV. It might get UHF. Mm-hmm. Well, when I was a kid, 13 years old, we would go to school on Monday after watching Laugh-In on Sunday and talk all day long about what happened on Laugh-In and how funny it was. That's the way we existed. Mm-hmm. Everybody saw the same thing at the same time.
Yes.
That which does not exist anymore. Now, as far as you're asking me at a time when normal TV watching, normal viewing of anything is in a joyous upheaval because from September till the 6th of January, we are watching holiday-themed programming.
Yes.
We're watching movies that we own for the season of Doom and Gloom, all the horror movies. Then, literally the day after Halloween, Christmas begins with some transition movies.
You mean All Saints Day?
Oh, is that what it is? All Saints? It's the Day of the Dead, to Dia de los Muertos. I believe it's called Dia de los Muertos. Mm-hmm. I don't know for sure because I'm primarily monolingual, but sometimes people call me bilingual because I could throw a little French in because mm-hmm. I took French.
So I clearly can say butterfly in numerous languages.
Oh, that's true. And I could say papillon. I could say schmetterling. But anyway. So in the current state of affairs, to make this a really long fucking winded answer to a relatively simple question.
Mm-hmm. Which is the hallmark of this show.
Yes. Absolutely. It's what we're proud to do. To go on and bloatify mm-hmm. For an hour and a half on a simple question. During this time, we were watching nothing but holiday themed stuff that we own or that we have rented or whatever. On a regular life, when the holidays are not around, I will binge watch Netflix shows.
Yes.
And some Amazon Prime. Oh.
Prime. Yes, Amazon Prime.
Death be kind and quick. And it's American Horror Story, which has really good seasons and then really just seasons that seem to just want to be as bloody and as gory as they possibly can. That seems to be their goal.
I feel like Ryan Murphy shows are very hit or miss. They're either really good or they're really bad.
I agree. Yeah. I agree. For an example, I watched Ratchet.
Yes.
And felt that it was just... Why? Okay. Now, I will watch Sarah Paulson take a poopy because that's how much I love Sarah Paulson. And she was, as always, wonderful in it. But she wasn't given a lot to do other than murder or cry. It was either killing something or crying. And so I just didn't get Ratched season one. Schitt's Creek, adore. Oh my God. Mm-hmm. How can you not adore Schitt's Creek?
So you watched all six seasons?
We have not watched the end of this current one because we're in the midst of the holidays and everything goes on hold. It is a very neurotic household because you've got me, who's just a psychological fuck up mess. I say this every show, anxiety ridden, depression ridden, just a fucked up mess. And then you got my precious husband who came from a hellish, absolutely hellish childhood, who clings to tradition as a way to make a normal, predictable life and an enjoyable, normal, predictable life. So you add these two in and we tend to do a lot of the same thing at the same time of year, at the same day, at the same hour, because it's what we do.
Yes, I've known you for a long time and I am familiar with
these. I was what, 10 or 11 when we met? Mm-hmm.
And I'm familiar with these traditions. And I believe I've asked you before, at what point does it become a tradition? Because if you just do something once, that's not a tradition. You would have to it seems to me that to have the definition of tradition, it would be something that would be repeatable. Like, oh, hey, remember last year when we did this? Wouldn't it be fun if we did that again? But I feel like there are more traditions in the Scott and Drew household than normal households.
I would say you're probably right. And for reasons that I believe I just elucidated upon.
Okay. Yes.
And I cleaned it up after.
So all of this is which to say, I'm not sure I got the words right there. All of this is to.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's a bad time for me to talk to you about what you've been watching on TV, unless I'm going to talk to you specifically about what holiday things you have been watching on TV.
Well, yes, but also. I'm really particular. And I'm also, as I say, this is just pretty soon I'm just going to play a recording of me and you can do the show because I say the same shit over and over again. Because I am so fucking old, the young kid stuff just really doesn't appeal to me at all. So the things that are really popular that everybody's talking about, that Twitter's all abuzz with, mm-hmm. that Facebook is just Facebooking all over the place about, I will watch and say to myself, what? And not get it. Just not get it at all. Because I'm really removed. I don't feel old in my head. I feel ancient. I don't feel old in my head, but I'm old. And my thoughts and my appreciations formed in a completely different world than what we're living in now.
Okay, so I'm going to name two shows.
Yes, please do.
That I think you would like, but I don't know if you've seen them or not. Have you seen The Good Place?
I watched 4 episodes of it and just really thought I don't want to go back to it.
Okay.
There is a prime example, Daniel, of my headspace, I think, is just different than the people who were making.
I feel the problem there is that The Good Place represents itself as a show. And you didn't make it to the tipping point of the show where they go, oh, actually, it's not a show about that. It's a show about this. There is Mike Schur, the creator of The Good Place, there's the first 6 episodes of The Good Place are a setup of a premise that then they completely flip around on you. So that by the time you finish watching the 6th episode, you're like, holy crap. And then, so I can understand that you wouldn't make it past 4 because you have no idea of knowing that. I watched it because I adore Kristen Bell and I like Ted Danson. So I was kind of in on it. I watched it blind, so I didn't know. Also, it's a 1/2-hour show, which I can eat those for breakfast and I can just go through a bunch of them really fast.
Yes.
So,
and I understand the reason I will watch something is because I will love the actor or actress in it and will watch it for that reason. I don't even know who Kristen Bell is, let alone.
Oh my God, she's a national treasure, Scott.
Okay. I will take your word for it.
She's the voice of Anna from Frozen. She's also the singing voice of Anna.
Oh, did you ever watch Once Upon a Time?
Once Upon a Time, the modern take on Snow White and Prince Charming, that one?
Yes.
I watched a couple of seasons until it got silly. So I watched the first 3 seasons.
I think probably that's how far I watched it. I got up to Frozen.
Oh, yeah. I didn't even stick that long. I didn't make it
to Frozen. I got up to Frozen. But I really loved that show. I really loved another show
Kristen Bell came to fame from a role, I believe, called Veronica Mars, which was a TV show I did not watch, but that is how she became a famous person. But she has a great singing voice, and she's a great actress. She's a comedic actress, and she's very good.
Well, she was very funny in that show.
Mm-hmm. She is.
Because she, as far as I got, that she wasn't supposed to be there, mm-hmm. and it was a mistake that she ended up there. Yes. That's as far as I got. And I loved that. I thought that was very funny, that she wasn't supposed to go to the good place.
Right. There
was
a clerical error. That is a funny premise, but not something that you could build a four-season show arc out of. So that's why that premise becomes flipped around at the sixth, and then it turns out, oh, wait, she was supposed to be there, and this is not what you think it is. And then it becomes like an entirely different thing. Anyway, The Good Place is one of those shows. It had four seasons, I believe. And at the end of seasons 1, 2, and 3, I said the same damn thing, which is they've written themselves into a hole. There's no way they're getting out of this because they screwed themselves.
You mean like fucking Lost, that I wasted my goddamn life watching that?
Lost was an amazing television show.
I know.
I would go to my death defending Lost, but that's not important. Well, what I'm trying to say is every season, the first episode of the next season, God damn it, they got out of it. How did they do that? How did they flip that around? So,
as opposed to Lost, who just kept inventing and inventing and inventing bullshit after bullshit after bullshit until they ran out of bullshit and
Lost
they said, and I
was a show about a mystical island. And everyone suddenly needed like concrete answers out of mysticism. It's a mystical fucking island. There's some things that happen just because.
Wow. Don't ever become a writer, Daniel. Don't ever become a writer. There's no such thing as just because.
I respect Drew immensely for writing books because yes. I don't think and Matt Burlingame, our friend Matt Burlingame, yes. also writes books. I don't think I have the patience. Or the discipline to write.
Love Matt Burlingame. Precious, precious man.
Yes, he is.
Just as a side note.
No, he sent us a Disney blanket just recently. Out of the blue. It wasn't for any
He's an incredibly generous, wonderful man.
He is.
And once again, the self-discipline that it takes to write, especially... What's that term when it's long form? To write long form is extremely difficult with the self-discipline that it takes.
Yes.
And I have witnessed it. My husband wrote his first book longhand on yellow legal pad at lunch breaks and breaks from his job as an agent.
Wow.
Remember the voiceover? By the sea, yes. By the sea, by the C-U-N-T mm-hmm. agent I had, voiceover. Mm-hmm. Breaks. He would go over to Farmer's Market before it became The Grove. And there were lunchrooms upstairs, large tabled lunchrooms that were often vacant during that time and art exhibits that were vacant. And he would sit at a table with a yellow legal pad and he wrote his first novel that way.
Which was Don't Bleed on Me, Mother Mary? What was the name?
Yes, Don't Bleed on Me, Uncle Harry.
Uncle Harry. No,
the Sin of Mother Mary, available on Amazon.
On Amazon Kindle. Prime?
Well, if you have Prime, you'll get it faster.
Oh.
But it's a hard copy and Kindle. He has
written
it
makes a great gift for Christmas.
I like the direction this is going. Yes, he wrote The Sin of Mother Mary was his first book. His second book is Father, Who Art? And his third book, not to be his final, is called Crossroads. All of them are, what's interesting is all of them are completely different. The first one is an incredibly in-depth treatise on this woman's troubled life that every woman that read it said, how the hell did you get inside a woman's head? And I said, well, have you met Drew? Oh, I didn't say that. Oh my God, he's going to slap me listening to this. Because he doesn't talk like this at all. I'm a writer. Yeah, and it's an incredible book. The second one is a child in foster care's journey through all kinds of hell. That's some of the hell that he went through as a kid. And the third one is how would I describe it? It's an adventure. It's an archaeologist's adventure and twists and turns and comments on religion. He's quite amazing in his ability to create, and that's one of
I'm still waiting for the audiobooks. Still waiting for the audio versions of the books.
Yeah.
They don't read.
Well, I tell you what, Zoom me later on and I'll read it to you. Every night I'll read you a chapter and you can go to sleep. It'll be like the audiobook.
I don't listen to audiobooks when I go to sleep.
I know you listen to podcasts.
I listen to very specific podcasts when I go to bed because, as I've talked about before, but I will repeat here quickly, I have tinnitus.
We both have tinnitus, yes. Darling. We both have it severely, and it is the most horrific,
yes,
to try to describe to someone what it's like.
Yes. And what, but the thing about it is that the ringing is louder when it's quieter. So you're constantly looking for noise to be on in the background somewhere, because that keeps you from focusing on the silence, which of course makes you focus on the ringing. So at night, I need podcasts that are interesting to listen to, but not so interesting enough that I would get stay awake to listen to them. And also, they need to be of the same sound quality, because some podcasts are very
jarring.
Quiet, and some podcasts have spikes in them. Like some parts are very loud and some parts are very soft. And so I tend to listen to MSNBC podcasts at night. So I listen to Rachel Maddow, Chris Hayes, Joy Reid, Brian Williams. They all come out as podcasts from the evening show that evening. So it's basically like going to bed with the TV on, except you don't have the tube of the TV making light. And less commercials, way less commercials on their podcast.
And I don't know if listening to current events when you're trying to go to sleep is healthy, but that's okay.
Well, I stay, I mean, it's not like it's a surprise, right? I do read the news all day long, so I kind of know what they're going to say. Anyway, it's not important.
What is important,
my
Daniel?
Point
what
is that I don't listen to audiobooks at night. I listen to audiobooks when I'm eating lunch.
Well, then we'll do a morning Zoom.
Okay,
and I'll, as you're having your coffee, I'll read to you chapters of Drew's
great
books.
Excellent.
We have The Sin of Mother Mary.
You
we
know,
have
we could
Father Who Art. And we have Crossroads.
We could put
available
it out chapter by chapter as an extra on
level 13. Level 13.
Which we haven't talked about yet, but just briefly, we have a behind-the-scenes little club for folks that want to hear some extra content from us. We post our pre-show and our post-show. It's all in a little private feed that a little club. We have our own Discord server. We call it Level 13.
And for those uninitiated as myself, a Discord server is nothing more than basically a message board,
yeah,
or a chat room that's always open.
Correct. In fact, the, yes, Pride 48 chat room runs on Discord. So you use the same account that you would use at the Pride 48 chat room.
No way.
Yeah.
Wow.
So the,
and that can be found.
Yeah,
yes.
And it's free. It's completely free. We don't do the Audible thing where we charge you money or whatever. We just say, hey,
no,
come. If you want to hear
you
more,
we
join our club.
We would prefer if you were naked from the waist down when you're in the room, but it's not a requirement.
It's not a requirement. No. And if you would like to join, just send us an email. Say, hey, I want in. That's all you have to do. That's all there is to it.
Just an email?
Just an email.
Speaking of emails.
Yes.
Have we gotten any emails, Daniel?
Not a damn one.
We are so popular.
I did get an email from one of our level 13 folks.
Level 13.
That was providing some more non sequitur scripts for the end of the
yes
show.
Oh, yes. And I loved it that she only said Zach. There was
this
no,
is a different one. This
there was no, yeah. Oh.
They sent it directly to my email. They didn't send it to the contact email. So,
oh, I saw the one that came to the
yes,
contact
right
email.
Yeah, this one came to my personal email. But yeah, and I've run out of those. So now I do need to write them up and send them.
I will get my husband to do some more because that was my.
Can
that
he
was
just
not
read
farting
a chapter of
the sin of Mother Mary, or Father Who Art, or Crossroads?
Crossroads. Is Crossroads out?
Yes.
Oh,
it's available on Amazon.com and Kindle.
Also makes a great Christmas gift.
Christmas gift.
Anyway.
Or Chinooka.
So let's talk about.
You could give 8 of them. Think of that. Buy 8.
All right. So
you could give one every night for Hanukkah.
The Good Place, you watched, but you didn't like. All right. So now
correct,
here's my other one that I want to know if you like, because I feel like you would like it, but I don't know if you've seen it. It's called Pose.
Never heard of it. Is it about Edgar Allan?
Yes. It is his family, The Pose.
Oh, yeah. The Pose. The Pose. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Pose. Once upon a midnight dreary.
I'm sorry. It is another Rifen. It is another Ryan Murphy joint.
Oh.
This one is available on Netflix.
Can you synopsize?
It airs, all right, so it airs on, I want to say FX. And then after the season, then it shows up on Netflix.
As does American Horror Story. Yes.
So, all right. So to synopsize, it is about the ballroom culture of the 80s in New York. It stars Billy Porter and I want to say 6 or 7 trans actresses that are part of this ballroom culture. And they're actually trans actresses that they use to portray the trans people. And it's at the height of the AIDS epidemic in the 80s. But there
was Paris is Burning. Was that the film?
That was the film about the ballroom culture. This is a TV show about the ballroom culture. Billy Porter plays a character named Pray Tell, who is one of the MCs at the, you know, category is Eleganza Extravaganza. But it's really a story about these gay families. Like there's a house mother and then the children that they bring into their family, and that you kind of follow all of them through their different trials and tribulations of being trans, of going through the AIDS crisis, of, you know, the attitudes towards homosexuals in New York in the 80s. It's an engrossing series.
And there is already a season out on Netflix that I can look into?
Oh yeah, 2 seasons on Netflix.
I will do that.
Yes, it is a very, and it, Billy Porter's amazing, so. There you go.
And since I haven't seen it, I have nothing to say about it.
But. I know you're right. But I would after the season of Christmas, after the Christmas season.
Yes, the Christmas season.
Doom and gloom. So what would the Christmas season, like the season of...
Shiny balls.
Shiny balls. The shiny ball season.
Yes.
You'll have to watch it. So now...
Yes, darling.
Now let's talk about what you are watching... For the season of Christmas.
The master of the segue does it again.
Right. I have been obsessed with this Father Knows Best Christmas show, which you've talked about for years on your podcast.
Yes.
And I've been trying to find it.
Is it on YouTube by any chance?
I didn't even look on YouTube. Let's see.
I think it may be on YouTube. And I will say, this is an inherent problem with doing post-show, pre-show. That's it.
Yes.
This is the inherent problem.
Today, warm to remembrances of holidays past as YTV Movies presents the Father Knows Best Christmas Reunion.
Oh my God, the sound is hideous. The picture is hideous. Now, why isn't there a pristine version of this? It was filmed.
There is. I can't find one. If I could find one, I would pay pretty bucks for it. Because as I said, and if I can finish my fucking point, doing the post show and the pre show and the show, I don't remember what the fuck when I talked to you about this. Yes. So I may just be repeating more than I would normally repeat. But I will do this. I will say this.
Yes.
I've been a Father Knows Best fan forever. I grew up with the reruns. I didn't see the first runs of these shows because actually they predated me. If you can believe something predated me, it predated me. But I would watch Leave It to Beaver and Dennis the Menace and Father Knows Best. Adored them. Loved them.
The Donna Reed show?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely, Donna Reed.
I had a crush on Jeff.
He was cute. Mm-hmm. But he didn't hold a candle to the drummer on the Partridge Family.
No, Chris.
The second one. Second Chris, not the first. I do not know. I do not know how I found, for the first time, the Father Knows Best Home for Christmas special. It was being broadcast. And my guess is that it was being broadcast multiple times, as they used to do on TV stations.
Yeah.
You know, they would play the same movie a couple of days in a row or once a week. And the only reason I say that is because I was able to catch it and record it on a beta tape. And all you kids out there, there were actually two systems. One was a superior system and the other one succeeded. And those systems were beta and VHS. VHS became tout le rage and beta went down the crapper. That was my, by the way, that was my French, tout le rage. It means all the rage. Toute la rage. Every little breeze seems to whisper Louise. So, Buttons,
mm-hmm.
I managed to record Father Knows Best Home for Christmas on beta. And Drew and I began to watch it in our early times together, and it became a traditional viewing situation on during the Christmas season. Now, what I would like to explain, as I probably explained to you on a post or a pre, but maybe a mid, it isn't as if, usually the first time we will sit down and watch something, specifically as a viewing situation, we have our munchies, we're sitting down, the dogs are curled up with us, and we are concentrating on the show. Yes. We will do that for each of our Christmas shows one time.
Yes.
The rest of the viewings, and they can get up into the 20s, 20s of times, are usually one of two things. They are background stuff for other things we're doing, decorating, yeah, making dinner, whatever. What all the things that you do, they will be on in the background.
Yes.
Or the other one is when Drew and I, and Drew never gets, Drew has a drink and he's fine. I have two bottles and I need the third, but we won't get into that because that's my own personal hell. After I've had the first of my 6 or 8 bottles of vodka, after I have the first one, I'm feeling happy.
3 to 6 really fast.
Well, that's my life. That's 3 to 6 in 10 seconds, baby.
Okay.
I start feeling very happy, very nostalgic, very, I'm a great drunk.
Yeah, I don't want to watch this show again.
Yeah, and he will have had one.
Let's watch it again, but one, louder.
Basically, really. So,
craze. I'm going to turn it up.
Turn it up. Block out all the other noise. And make it really loud. So he will be feeling good because he has 1 or 1.5 and he feels really good. I will have 10, 11, 12, 13 and feel really good. And we will watch it and usually fall asleep. It will be on and we'll pass out. I'll pass out. He'll fall asleep. And then we'll wake up.
These are like Nielsen ratings. You don't have a way of knowing whether you paid attention to the whole thing. So when you say you watch it 20 times,
it isn't. Yeah. It isn't sitting because I think, and that's too much judgment. But I think it would be insane to sit down and watch something with rapt attention 20 or 30 times
in a season. Although, yeah. I mean, there's movies that I've watched 20 times over my lifetime.
Oh, of course, yeah. I'm Buckaroo Banzai. I'm not even approaching that. I'm talking about our Christmas season goes from the day after Halloween to January 6th. Mm. That's our Christmas season, and that's the time that we watch all of these shows over and over. Okay. One of them is the Judy Garland Christmas special, Father Knows Best Home for Christmas, A Christmas Vacation, Chevy Chase. What else? There's so many of them that we watch over and over.
Cleaning out the crapper.
Yeah, no, the shitter is full.
Oh.
Shitter's full. Boy, he turned into a whack attack on a hoof, Dennis Quaid. Have you seen this with the...
That
oh
was not
God.
Dennis Quaid. That was Randy Quaid.
I'm sorry. You're absolutely right. And it's so rare for me to make a mistake.
I know. It's
yeah, right. Yes, Randy Quaid. The Quaid brothers. Mm-hmm. Although Dennis isn't much pulled together either. So what was your question?
You know what you call a group of Quaids?
What?
A lewd. Anyway, the... So I have a couple of movies that I watch at
Wait,
Christmas.
But you want to talk?
Yeah. I have a couple of movies that I watch.
You got a lot of nerve, Daniel.
I have a couple of movies that I watch at Christmas. They're a tradition, dare I say tradition, that I watch them every year. Every year I watch these two movies. I own them. I watch them. They're great. I know that you watch one of them, but my absolute favest?
Yes, your favest.
My absolute favorite Christmas movie is The Santa Claus.
Which we watch 2 or 3 times during the season. Minimally one, sometimes 2 or 3. My only issue with it is that I really have a problem with Tim Allen.
Yeah, I just pretend like it's not Tim Allen.
Yeah, and if you do that, I'm seeing someone in gift wrapping. I mean, come on. It's just sweet, funny, A Rose Such a Gladder. Mm-hmm. You know, this stuff, that was good shit.
And Comet gave him a rope.
Yes.
So that he wouldn't fall off the roof.
Comet gave him a rope so he wouldn't fall off the roof.
Yes. Because people were giving him presents and whatever, and then finally Comet gave him a rope. And he's like, aw, so that I wouldn't. Because he kept asking, well, what if I fall off the roof? Because that's how the first Santa died.
Why don't I remember that moment?
Well, you'll have to catch it this year. Anyway, the second...
We've watched it already. Oh. We've watched it the first time through.
The second movie that I watch every year is Arthur Christmas. Now, it hasn't been for long because Arthur Christmas came out, what, in 2010 or something? It's relatively recent.
Yeah, when you think 2010 is 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. When in your life did you ever think that you would say something 10 years ago was recent? But that's what happens the older you get.
2011.
Daniel.
2011.
And it is one of the most delightful movies, let alone Christmas movies. Mm-hmm. It is one of the most delightful movies that I've ever seen. It is 3D animation, so that it's animated, but they look like they're puffy.
Yes.
Wonderfully animated.
Three bits of sticky tape.
And yes. And the voice actors are incredible in it. And the story is so heartfelt and wonderful. But you know what? As we watched this time, because we watched it two nights ago, I think, mm-hmm. Drew and I were watching it and suddenly went, boom, boom. And we thought, why does Daniel love this so much? And then we thought, a boy who really wants to show his father how valuable he is and how good he is and how worthy he
is. Wow, that's really good. Yeah, that's right.
And who worships his father. And wants to do well by him. Mm-hmm. Is there any kind of ringing resonance?
I don't think so, because my dad and I had a great relationship and he complimented and praised me all the time. So he was one of my biggest supporters for anything that I did. So I didn't have a relationship with him where I was trying to impress him all the time.
Okay, that's fair.
I remember the first time that I knew I had impressed him, though, when I was younger, because I won an argument. And I was like, huh, he's taking me seriously, because he actually backed down from there. He's like, that is a good point. And so, yeah. But no, I have a very close family. And so, we didn't have any of that.
You didn't have any, I really want to please Dad.
No, I mean, we pleased each other. I mean, we always did things for
I don't want to know about that.
Whatever.
Oh, no, you didn't say we pleasured each other. No. You said we pleased. Okay.
Our family does a lot of things for each other, but Dad didn't neglect any of us he wasn't an absent father like Santa in Arthur Christmas. But nice try. The real reason is because I identify.
Nice try. I'm not trying
I identify
anything.
So strongly with the reindeer.
Got it. My favorite scene?
The little chihuahua?
Is when they're at the very end, when they're all in the closet, mm-hmm. and they're all watching the little girl who finally got her bicycle, mm-hmm. the expression on Arthur's face.
Yes.
Because all he is doing is looking at the joy that that little girl is having, and he's absolutely enraptured by it. And the three others are doing whatever they're doing, and then they realize that
yes.
Arthur needs to be the one who takes over. Very, very delightful movie. Very delightful moment. Very touching, but I think you're wrong. I think it's about you and your relationship.
You should absolutely go and watch Arthur. If you've never watched Arthur Christmas before, and watch Arthur Christmas. I don't think it's on Netflix or...
No, I think... And did you not send us that DVD?
Yeah. No, I think I bought you the digital... Or did I? Yeah, I might have Amazoned you. Just
I think you Amazoned us that DVD. Yeah. And it is a treasure every year. Last point about your dad.
Oh, it says it's available on Hulu.
Oh.
So if you have
Hulu. Did your dad call you your childhood nickname, and what was it?
We've talked about this before. Dad called me Dan'l.
Dan'l?
Yes, but that was not my childhood nickname.
Oh, no.
So, anyway, Scott.
Yes, Daniel.
I've now told you my favorite two Christmas movies. What are your favorite two Christmas movies?
Christmas movies. So the shows are not, the
not
TV yet. Shows not are not going to count.
Two Christmas movies.
Love Actually. which we actually watch on Drew's birthday, which is December the 16th. Because not only did his family fuck him up in so many other ways, his mother had to have him in the middle of the goddamn Christmas season. So he ended up getting birthday presents that were wrapped in Christmas paper, or a birthday present was, this counts both as your birthday present and your Christmas present. And he got fucked that way all the time. So anyway, in the middle of our Christmas season, December the 16th.
Watch Love Actually.
The season stops and we watch Love Actually, because that, to me, is the greatest treatise on love that I've ever seen.
This is a Hugh Grant
in cinema,
film, right?
Well, he's in it. It isn't a Hugh Grant film, but he's in it. And it's an Emma Thompson film. It's a Liam Neeson film. Fantastic, wonderful actors in
that guy, that kid.
Yes, Phineas and Ferb.
Well, he was the voice of Ferb, but more recently he's in The Queen's Gambit, which is the new Netflix series.
I started the first 15 minutes of it and said, I got to watch more because my dear Digger recommended it, and people are all over the place recommending. So Love Actually is
Love Actually
there. And the other is going to be hard to choose because I adore the hilarity of Christmas Vacation. Absolutely love that movie so much. But I adore and cherish the sentiment and beauty of It's a Wonderful Life, which you would never watch because it's black and white. Although you could probably get a colorized version.
I think I've seen pieces of...
Of course you've seen pieces of it, because God forbid you sit down and... I sat down and watched Buckaroo Banzai from the beginning
sure
to the
I've
end.
I'm sure I've watched It's a Wonderful Life.
Fine. Trying to think of the other one, the other films, but like I said, Love Actually is number one, and it's only ancillarily Christmas. It really isn't a Christmas movie, but
it's
place
Christmas movie in the same way that Die Hard is a Christmas movie,
which I have never seen. But yes, that's
Christmas is taking
place
during the film, like Gremlins.
Exactly.
Is a Christmas movie.
Same with Love Actually, and that's one of the reasons that we watch it on Drew's birthday, because it's about love more than it's about Christmas. But we're still in the middle of the Christmas season. This is entirely too much information that no one's going
to
get.
This is all leading up to the final question.
Oh, there is a final
question. It's the final question. Diddle doo doo, diddle doo doo. That's going to be a bitch to edit. All right, so here's the final question, and it's for our listeners.
Oh.
What are your favorite two Christmas movies? Send us an email and let us know so that we can we can talk about it, and maybe we'll find a new Christmas movie.
Well, I would have said that there was no such thing as a new Christmas movie until you sent me Arthur Christmas, and it has become...
Correct.
Absolutely staple and favorite.
Correct. And there you go. That's the show, Scott.
That's the show. We did the show. That's the show. It's over now. We gotta go. That's the show. Hey, that's the show. Bye-bye for now. Bye-bye for now. We'll catch you later. Go to the post show at level 13. Level 13. Level 13. Good night, Daniel.
Goodbye, Scott.
Thank you for listening to That Darn Elvis. If you'd like to contact the show, you can email us, contact@thatdarnelvis.com, or send us a voicemail by going to voicemail.thatdarnelvis.com. You can always find us on our Facebook page, facebook.com/thatdarnelvis. On Twitter, Scott is @AntiVera, and Daniel is @DanielBrewer. This program may result in the following complications: perineal rash, confusion or hallucinations, diarrhea with fainting. Always check with your doctor before listening.
This podcast is a proud member of the Pride 40 Fuck Me Whole. Go to pride48.com.